Hello and welcome back to the Bora Minda podcast. I'm your host Zulaika, and dalam episod ini saya akan menerangkan apa itu obsessive compulsive disorder atau dikenali sebagai OCD, kriteria untuk diagnosis OCD, jenis atau simptom-simptom OCD yang common, dan rawatan yang sedia ada. Saya juga akan interview seseorang OCD survivor that I met online on social media, and I'll tell you more about that later. Remember that this podcast is brought to you by Minda, also known as Minda Kami on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tujuan podcast ini adalah untuk menyediakan informasi tentang kesihatan mental dalam format yang sedang dihadapkan. Remember that this podcast is also in Bahasa Rojak, iaitu campuran Bahasa Melayu dan Bahasa Inggeris. Today's topic is on OCD. I hope you enjoy. First off, let us have a breakdown of all of the words in obsessive compulsive disorder. So, ada tiga perkataan. I'm going to explain the first two in more detail. So these are definitions from the internet. Obsessions. What are obsessions? Obsessions are unwanted, intrusive thoughts, images, or urges that trigger intensely distressing feelings. And what are compulsions? Compulsions are behaviors an individual engages in to attempt to get rid of the obsessions and or decrease their distress. So persons with OCD have obsessions which cause anxiety, and compulsions, which are behaviors used to help relieve this anxiety, at least to a certain extent. According to the website for the National Institute of Mental Health in the US, obsessive compulsive disorder is a common, chronic, and long-lasting disorder in which a person has uncontrollable, reoccurring thoughts or obsessions and behaviors that they feel the urge to repeat over and over. So, key points kat sini. OCD ni fenomena yang biasa berlaku. So, dalam Malaysia ada 1 hingga 2% orang Malaysia yang menghadapi OCD. OCD ini juga kronik, iaitu dihadapi untuk jangka masa yang lama atau sering berlaku berkali-kali. So, nak senang, obsesi tu fikiran. Obsesi ini adalah fikiran yang berulang kali atau keinginan yang mendesak ataupun gambaran mental yang menyebabkan anxiety atau rasa risau. And compulsions adalah perlakuan. Perlakuan compulsion ini adalah dia rasa macam perlakuan yang mesti dilakukan. Kadang-kadang rasa macam terpaksa buat. Dan compulsion ini didorong oleh fikiran. Jadi selalunya compulsion ini datangnya daripada fikiran obsesif yang kita ada. Nanti saya akan beri contoh kemudian, okay? Ada perbezaan sikit dari segi bila mulanya seseorang itu mula ada OCD. Lelaki selalunya mula dapat OCD pada usia yang lebih muda dan perempuan lebih lambat. Jadi untuk lelaki selalunya mula pada umur 6 hingga 15 tahun. Untuk perempuan 20 hingga 29 tahun. Jadi itu mungkin umur-umur yang perlu diperhatikan lah. Jadi apa pula kriteria untuk diagnosis OCD? Untuk diagnose sebuah disorder atau penyakit mental itu, kita perlukan sumber rujukan lah untuk nak diagnose ni. Jadi selalunya digunakan DSM-5 yang diterbit oleh American Psychiatric Association atau APA. DSM stands for Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. DSM merupakan sumber utama dalam diagnosis penyakit mental. So according to the DSM, OCD is defined as the presence of obsessions. Compulsions are both. Obsessions are defined by 1 and 2 as follows. Number 1, recurrent and persistent thoughts, urges, or images that are experienced at some time during the disturbance as intrusive and unwanted and cause marked anxiety and distress. So, obsesi ni selalunya adalah fikiran yang mengganggu kita dan dia memang tidak diingini. Number 2, the person attempts to suppress or ignore such thoughts, impulses, or images, or to neutralize them with some other thought or action. Lagi satu definisi obsesi ialah orang tu cuba pendam atau menindas atau abaikan sesuatu fikiran itu. Dia juga mungkin cuba neutralkan dengan cuba berfikir benda lain atau buat benda lain. In addition, compulsions are defined by 1 and 2 as follows. Repetitive behaviors, such as hand washing, ordering, checking, or mental acts. For example, praying, counting, repeating words silently, in response to an obsession or according to rules that must be applied rigidly. The behaviors or mental acts are aimed at preventing or reducing distress or preventing some dreaded event or situation. However, these behaviors or mental acts either are not connected in a way that could realistically neutralize or prevent whatever they are meant to address, or they are clearly excessive. Sekali lagi, saya nak ingatkan, compulsion adalah perlakuan. Selalunya disebabkan obsesi yang kita ada tu. Selalunya perlakuan ini dibuat berulang kali atau mungkin perlakuan tu dalam minda kita atau kena mengikut peraturan. Dan peraturan itu kadang-kadang tak realistik. Peraturan tu mungkin kita buat sendiri atau kita mungkin terfikir, terdengar macam-macam lah. Kadang-kadang peraturan tu tak make sense pun. Compulsion yang dilakukan tidak semestinya atau sebenarnya sering tidak menyelesaikan masalah secara realistik. So, aku bagi contoh. Contohnya, orang ni berzikir obsessively. Kalau nak fikirkan, like, it depends whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in Islam. But anyways, berzikir ni is thought of as a positive thing in the Muslim community, I guess. Sebagai contoh, seseorang yang ada OCD mungkin akan berzikir berulang-ulang kali sebab dia mengikut peraturan. Contohnya, dia kena berzikir tu sebab kalau dia tak berzikir 1,000 kali, 10,000 kali yang eksesif, yang sangat-sangat terlebih, dia rasa macam dia akan mati, mak dia akan mati, or it's like something bad would happen to him or another person in his life. Suddenly, like, this person is gendered. But anyways, that's the example that I'm giving. Another example is maybe counting. Kalau tak zikir, like, maybe that person uses another method to relieve their anxiety. Maybe they need to count from 1 to 99, or else someone would die, someone would be hurt, whether them or another person, like I said. Sometimes those numbers have meaning, sometimes they don't. So dalam situasi ini mungkin 99 tu berkait dengan bilangan nama Allah yang ada. The compulsion might have like overlapping influences. So like the 99 number has a religious influence. Sometimes, like I said, it doesn't have meaning. So it could be like, it must be 24 times, 59 times, 110 times, anything really, but it really depends on the person. So in this next segment, I will be explaining some common experiences of OCD. So I'll give a lot of examples here. So this is a trigger warning. I will be mentioning things like sex, incest, religion, and things related to that, basically. So, moving on, what are common obsessions and common compulsions. So these are a list of common obsessions: fear of germs or contamination, kuman, pencemaran, habuk, unwanted, forbidden or taboo thoughts involving sex, religion and harm. So fikiran yang tidak diingini yang tabu. Next, aggressive thoughts towards others or self. And also having to have things symmetrical or in a perfect order. Benda mesti tersusun rapi, mesti sempurna, mesti perfect. Some common compulsions are excessive cleaning and or hand washing, ordering and arranging things in a particular precise way, repeatedly checking on things. Another common obsession is having things symmetrical or in a perfect order. So, dalam minda dia mesti perfect, mesti tersusun rapi, mesti sempurna, mesti organized. Ordering and arranging things in a particular precise way. Repeatedly checking on things, such as repeatedly checking to see if the door is locked or that the oven is off. And also compulsive counting, like I said in the example before. Not all rituals or habits are compulsions. Everyone double checks things sometimes, but a person with OCD generally can't control their thoughts or behaviors. Persons with OCD might generally spend at least 1 hour a day on these thoughts or behaviors, and they experience significant problems in their daily life due to these thoughts or behaviors. And they don't get pleasure when performing the behaviors or rituals, but may feel brief relief from the anxiety the thoughts cause. Compulsion ni selalunya orang yang ada OCD tak suka buat, tapi dia rasa macam dipaksa atau rasa yang dia perlu buat untuk kurangkan rasa anxiety atau risau tu. Dan baru dia ada rasa yang lebih tenang. Selalunya untuk sementara je. Ada juga something yang dikenali sebagai pure O, OCD. O meaning obsessive or obsession. Pure O ni dia more to constricted in the mind. Dia lebih kepada dalam otak lah daripada segi perlakuan kan, yang perlakuan yang lebih ketara. Mungkin like counting out loud or having to wash your hands repeatedly, that's very visible. Itu sangat ketara. Tapi pure O ni, mungkin tak berapa ketara. Mungkin dia dalam fikiran je. Mungkin dalam otak saja. Jadi pure O berbeza dengan OCD yang biasa atau traditional. Jika kita ada pure O, kita mungkin ada compulsion. Seperti tanya orang repeatedly and repeatedly until they puas hati or kurang rasa anxiety, like I said. They may also avoid certain objects, places, or people. I think a lot of people do this just generally, but this avoidance might be like very, very severe. Jadi tak ramai yang tahu pure OCD ni apa, sebab like I said, dia tak begitu ketara. Persons with pure O tend to be secretive about their condition because it involves being forced to confront their very worst fears. The human mind is full of imaginative potential. Unfortunately, this can make pure O even more agonizing. Initial intrusive thoughts are usually based upon the wholly unjustified worry that they'll cause something very much unwanted to happen. Pure O, and OCD in general, thrives on exploiting feelings of responsibility or guilt. Even worse, the obsessive fears tend to feature loved ones or those who are vulnerable as their subjects. As a result, sufferers quickly become trapped in a cycle of torment, haunted by every unwanted thought that intrudes their mind. So, you may not see overt compulsions like excessive cleaning or organizing in persons with pure O. But a key feature of pure O is rumination. Rumination adalah berfikir tentang sesuatu yang negatif tanpa hala tuju dan tidak membuahkan penyelesaian atau tidak produktif. So, rumination ni selalunya kita akan stuck dalam fikiran yang sama. Mungkin boleh juga dibahasakan sebagai overthinking. So, contoh rumination yang aku nak bagi. Contohnya, you saw a very negative event or a traumatic event that happened to you or another person. And you kind of have that mental image in your mind and feelings and thoughts surrounding that event. Contohnya, a car accident. Bila kita ruminate, kita mungkin akan fikir pasal benda tu. Hanya untuk fikir pasal benda tu berulang-ulang kali. And we can get stuck in that. Sometimes that's not really an explanation. At least not that I can come up with right now. So that is basically what rumination is. You think about something that isn't good for you, that has a negative impact on your thoughts, your emotions, your behaviors, and your well-being. Next, I will be reading an excerpt from OCDonline.com about how pure OCD might look like. A mother is changing the diapers of her infant. As she lovingly looks down at the helpless child, the thought occurs to her to take a pillow and smother her child. In response to this thought, the mother panics and runs to another room to diminish the possibility of acting on this thought, assuming that the capacity to think such thoughts may be similar to acting on them. So I'm going to highlight the last sentence. Pure OCD ni mungkin rasa macam kemampuan untuk kita berfikir tentang benda yang sangat jahat. Kita mungkin rasa yang dia adalah sama dengan betul-betul buat perkara tu. So that's why like pure OCD can be debilitating. Sangat mengganggu kehidupan, sangat melemahkan kita. Sebab kita rasa bersalah seolah-olah kita memang buat perkara yang jahat tu. Benda ni boleh take over someone's life. And they can spend time ruminating or obsessing about something for hours and hours. And that can take a toll in your life. That takes out a lot of time. Like you could lose sleep over it and be late for something important because of that. So that's what I guess I want to highlight a bit from the excerpt that I just read. So now I'm moving on to treatments for OCD. Typically, treatments for mental illness or mental disorders are usually the two, which are psychotherapy and medication. And a lot of people use a combination of the two. So psychotherapy boleh dijalankan oleh psychotherapist atau clinical psychologist. So memang ada orang yang betul-betul spesifik lah untuk jalankan psychotherapy ni. Contoh psychotherapy adalah cognitive behavioral therapy and other related therapies. For example, habit reversal training. They can be as effective as medication for many individuals. So, secara ringkas, psychotherapy ini adalah rawatan atau aktiviti di mana kita dibantu oleh psychotherapist atau clinical psychologist untuk mengubah fikiran kita dan atau perlakuan kita kepada yang lebih baik, lebih positif dan tidak begitu mengganggu kehidupan kita. Dalam psychotherapy, kita akan belajar macam mana nak manage mental illness kita kalau kita ada. Atau sebenarnya psychotherapy ni bukan saja untuk orang yang ada mental illness, boleh juga untuk orang yang tidak didiagnose atau orang-orang biasa saja sebenarnya yang ada masalah-masalah kehidupan yang mengganggu kehidupan dia masa tu. So psychotherapist tu boleh tolong kita mencari perspektif lain dalam apa yang kita fikirkan, mengubah kepada perspektif yang lebih positif atau mengubah perlakuan kita kepada yang lebih baik. Untuk OCD, ada psychotherapy di bawah cabang cognitive behavioral therapy yang dinamakan exposure and response prevention, which has been found to be effective in reducing compulsive behaviors and OCD. Many people with OCD take medication as well to help them cope or manage their illness better. Selalunya medikasi yang digunakan adalah selective reuptake inhibitors and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These medications are also very common in treating depression and anxiety as well. So, apakah medication ini buat? Namanya adalah selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So, ubat ni dia akan menambahkan bilangan serotonin dalam otak kita. Serotonin adalah sejenis neurotransmitter yang ada dalam otak kita. Contoh neurotransmitter lain adalah dopamine, norepinephrine dan lain-lain. Serotonin ni sering dikaitkan dengan mood kita, perlakuan sosial kita, kita punya selera makan dan penghadaman, tidur, memory and sexual desire and function. Contoh selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor atau dipendekkan kepada SSRI termasuklah fluoxetine, fluvoxamine and sertraline. SSRIs often require higher daily doses in the treatment of OCD than of depression, and may take 8 to 12 weeks to start working, but some patients experience more rapid improvement. Jadi untuk OCD, untuk ubat tu efektif, kita perlu bagi masa 8 hingga 12 minggu untuk dia betul-betul membantu. Tapi ada juga yang dapat efek dia lebih cepat daripada tu. Dia bukan quick fix lah. Dia medication untuk mental illness ni, dia bukan yang kita makan satu pil terus rasa baik, rasa hebat, rasa macam dah sembuh sepenuhnya. Truthfully, it's not going to be like that. So that's what I would like people to be aware of, because I know a lot of people who get really frustrated, like they have been taking their medication for 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, and they might not feel better by then, and it takes time for them to be effective, really. But if you do have really bad side effects are expected, especially when starting, but if they are so severe, and then you have to talk to your doctor and see what they can do to help you. But remember, medication takes time. It's okay if it takes time. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you or necessarily the medication. It might take a little bit more time than anticipated. So that's my little advice.
Jadi selesailah episod kita untuk bab-bab teknikal tentang OCD. Untuk episod minggu depan, saya akan bercakap dengan orang yang ada pengalaman sendiri dengan OCD. So, stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.